Listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Some Zimbabwean women say they are staging protests in Harare while dressed in miniskirts to conscientize Zimbabweans about their constitutional rights.
The issues around our bodies and taking charge of our bodies and making decisions about what to do with our bodies and what we wear and what happens with us is really like our business.
A large number of Zimbabweans suffering from various diseases claims that they have been healed by prosperity gospel preachers after failing to get proper medication from conventional hospitals.
The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, he has given different gifts to his servants. To some, he has given the power of prophecy. To some, he has given the ability to speak in tongues. To some, he has given the gift to heal and to cast out demons.
And hundreds of Zimbabweans living in South Africa say they are still failing to access the internet as a new program to regularize their status in that country continues. Some Zimbabwean women say they are staging protests while dressed in miniskirts in Harare to conscientize Zimbabweans about their constitutional rights. Director Talent Jumo of Katswe Sisterhood, which organized the event, says the protest follows a series of public abuse by some men, especially kombi touts, who strip girls and women who wear miniskirts. Jumo tells Studio 7 Zimbabwe's constitution gives women the right to express themselves in a decent way.
The issues around our bodies and taking charge of our bodies and making decisions about what to do with our bodies and what we wear and what happens with us is really like our business. And we are fed up because this has been going on for a while. And we just thought, you know, we are a mobilized group of young women. We are going to have to say something about it. We see men who urinate in public all the time, and we've never threatened to pull out their reproductive organs. But for us, I mean, even if they don't even see the organs, they still want to harass us. And we are saying, you know what, enough is enough. We are not waiting for the 16 days of activism. We are going to act now.
Now, tell us a bit about your own experience. You know, how was it to be harassed?
Well, being harassed, it's humiliating. You feel like you are in nothing. It's traumatic. I remember for one, I mean, I had to board a taxi and it was expensive. And I'm just thinking, I mean, even as I relate with men out there, outside of that experience, you keep thinking, you know, you are not an equal human being. And that feels bad, I tell you. You don't want to live in a country as a citizen who feels you are not enough. You are not good enough.
That was Director Talent Jumo of Katswe Sisterhood speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Some Zimbabweans suffering from various diseases claim that they have been healed by prosperity gospel preachers after failing to get proper medical attention at conventional hospitals. They claim that preachers like Emmanuel Makandiwa and several others are saving a lot of people from death. This is being disputed by some Zimbabweans who think that they are milking the public of millions of dollars through fake healing sessions. We traced one of the people, Elijah Ncube of Fort Rickson, who claims that he was close to death when Apostle Miriam Dube of Bulawayo prayed for him. Ncube's daughter, Sikatele Ncube, speaks to Studio 7 on behalf of her father.
I was told that by the time I heard that he was sick, and then at night they told me that he has passed away. So I told myself I will phone again in the morning. Then I called them in the morning and they told me that he has woken up again.
So then what happened next?
Yeah. And then they told me that they taken him to the hospital and nothing happened. They discharged him when he was like that, very sick. And then they took him home. That's when they found Pastor Du. And when they took him to Pastor Du, I was told that he prayed for him and he was healed.
So do you think that this actually happened to him or it was miraculous that he was healed?
Yeah, it did happen. I believe in God for what he did for him.
Do you think that Pastor Dube had the powers to resurrect your father from the dead?
Yeah, I think so. Because he's the man of God. He was sent by God to him.
So now, how is his condition right now as far as you're concerned?
Now he's fine. He's doing everything. He's working. He's doing everything that he was doing before.
That was Katele Ngube of Fort Rickson, Matabeleland South Province, speaking on behalf of her father, Elijah Ngube. Apostle Dube tells Studio 7 he derives his healing powers from God.
The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, he has given different gifts to his servants. To some, he has given the power of prophecy. To some, he has given the ability to speak in tongues. To some, he has given the gift to heal and to cast out demons. So the moment you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you also need to ask him what your gifting is. Take time to fast and pray. And normally God reveals in a mysterious way. Because at times you are given an opportunity to minister or to pray for somebody with a particular ailment and they are healed and you do not even know that you are a healer or you are a deliverer. You have to discover that day that something happened, I prayed for this person, they could not walk properly, now they can walk.
Preachers or men of God, why do they buy expensive cars?
Each man of God operates on what they were called to do by God. And they remember in different churches, there are different doctrines and different belief systems. If God wants me to be rich, I will be. If God wants me to live an average life, I will live an average life. But I will continue to serve the nation.
That was Apostle Midian Dube of Foundation Life Ministries speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Hundreds of Zimbabweans living in South Africa say they are still failing to access the internet as a program to regularize their status in that country continues. Daniel Muzenda of the Zimbabwe Migrants Association says authorities have been informed about the challenges facing the program, which started 3 days ago and ends December 31st this year. Muzenda tells Studio 7's Chris Kande the situation is under control, though time is ticking away for more than 250,000 Zimbabweans who are expected to get new work, business and student permits.
We are getting reports from Eastern Cape, Western Cape, that people are still having some challenges to complete their applications online.
We understand that police have stepped up measures to arrest those found with the expired documents. Can you tell us what's going on?
Yeah, in other areas, especially the Eastern Cape, when people went to make their applications to the VFS offices, the police were arresting them. But however, I think the Ministry of Home Affairs has really conscientized the police that all those payments, they are said to go to, they are going to expire at the end of December. So I think the issue is now clarified to the other stakeholders.
That was Daniel Muzenda of the Zimbabwe Migrants Association speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Direct from Washington, the Voice of America, VOA.
Ending poverty has proved to be a difficult task, judging from unmet targets by international organizations and individuals worldwide. But if Tanzanian-born author and motivational speaker Eric James Shikongo's story is one to believe, you can overcome poverty by simply rejecting it. He has written countless motivational books and gives seminars around the world on this. Shikongo shared stories of his humble beginnings with Studio 7's Ndimiyake Makalele.
Remembering from sleeping on the floor, sleeping hungry with my parents, to what I am today is a miracle. Where you have everything in scarcity, from food to money to respect to everything, no value, you know. Growing up in that society where my father was a small scale trader, and then he went bankrupt, and then he became a laborer in the construction sites. All the money that he brought home was meant for food, only food and nothing more. So I hated poverty from day one and said, man, I don't want to live this life. I don't want my kids to go through this kind of scenario.
So many people are impoverished today, and I know our audience in Zimbabwe can relate to this state of poverty. Yet you say in your book, this is how I moved from a nobody to a somebody. It's like you made a decisive choice.
It's
obviously not that easy.
It's a choice. Don't put blames on anybody. It's choice. You know, first of all, you must know that I did not manage to go to secondary school. In Tanzania, we have standard 7. That was the end of my education for that matter. Because of the mistreatment, I developed a sense of inferiority complex. I knew that whatever I do cannot account to anything. So I made the choice. I'm talking about choice. That I don't want to be like, yes, my father is my role model, but I don't want to live the life that my father did. I'm choosing a different direction of life. I'll do whatever I can. I'll never give up until I win. It's choice. And because I did not have a lot of education, just blessed like you are, the only choice was for me to learn business. My father, being a small-scale trader, he taught me how to trade as a young boy, having discipline with my money and aiming higher.
I want to talk a little bit about your writing. So it's so ironic. With a grade 7 education, here you are, an author, a motivational speaker, a publisher. How did that happen?
Education to me is the ability to be given the weapon. And you use that weapon to shoot. If it's a lion, you shoot it, and then you move ahead. When you have the weapon, which is education, and yet you don't know how to shoot with it, the lion will come and eat you. So what's my point? I don't devalue education. Education is very important, I know. I take my kids to the best schools in the country. I want them to have what I did not have. I'm not saying people should drop out of college or drop out of school. I don't believe in that.
And speaking about dropping out of college, or did you ever advance your education?
No.
So obviously, there are a lot of people listening to your story and they think, you know, I'm in that situation. And you're a motivational speaker now. You're here in Washington partly to do that. What would you tell somebody who doesn't feel there's any hope?
Wherever you are is not your position. When God created us, He never created a poor person. God created a man in His image. We are just like God, intelligent. But because of some people's opinions, the names that we are called every day, we are sleeping dormant. I want you to trust and have confidence in yourself right now. Wherever you are, stand up. Do something, no matter it's small. Don't talk too much. Do it. Once God gives you an idea, implement it. Don't wait for validation from people. Once God gives you an idea, just figure out how to do it. If you fail, it is you. It's your business.
Eric James Chikongo is an author, motivational speaker, and CEO of Global Publishers and General Enterprises in Tanzania. He spoke with Studio 7's Ndimiyake Makelele. Tune in tomorrow for Chikongo's message to the youth and to those naysayers in your life. It's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women, hosted by Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. We are lucky to have with us on the Women's Forum today a young woman farmer, Ruramiso Mashumba, who, after attending college in the United Kingdom, decided to relocate back to Zimbabwe and take up a career in farming. Ms. Mashumba will take us through the journey that got her to be a woman farmer in Zimbabwe, where she is farming horticultural products in Marondera. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Mashumba.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, really, I think it's just the fact that my father bought a farm when I was in high school, so that was sort of just like an incentive to farm. And because of the school I went to, agriculture was a big thing. So I guess just learning and seeing all the different types of farming that's out there really just inspired me to farm.
A lot of women would have chosen other careers. What got you to be so interested? Like you say, you grew up on a farm, or your father had a farm. Do you think this influences what a child becomes later on in life?
Well, I think what you're exposed to really affects sometimes the decisions that you make in life. Because if you live on a farm, I guess it's just that you know what farming is about. Unlike if you live somewhere else and you've never been on a farm and you don't really know what it is all about, might not make the decision. So I think my decision was because I didn't really grow up on a farm, but my father bought a farm when I was like 14 years, and we used to go to the farm.
What's your educational background like?
Well, first I did a diploma in agriculture when I was 17, and then after that I did a degree, a bachelor's degree in agriculture and business management. So I've always been in the agriculture field. I did my degree in England at Hartbury College, which is part of the University of West England.
So what made you decide to go back to Zimbabwe and start farming?
Well, the thing is that when I was in England, I used to work, I didn't work placement on a farm. And I've always wanted to go back to my country. And I think that's just the love of my own country is what made me want to go back and farm, because I've always wanted to farm, but I've always had a passion for it, just a passion for the country, going back to the sun and everything, and I just really wanted to go back.
When did you go back to Zimbabwe?
I went back in like end of 2010, Zimbabwe, and then I started farming about like a year and a half later.
And what kind of crops are you farming?
Well, right now I'm like more into the horticulture crops, so like I've done different types of vegetables, I've done cabbages, and this is just for the local market, but for export I've done peas, and I'm just looking into other crops that I can do for export, maybe fine beans, because chilies, those sort of. Right now, in terms of crops, I'm really into the horticulture crops, which is the crops that people need every day in stock, so there's a really demand for them.
And also, do you get the kind of assistance that you need as a woman? Are you on the same level as other young farmers who are men in the country?
I think, like, you know, as a woman, challenging in terms that people will look at you and then they'll just think that you're not serious. Because like even when I went to get my contract, I think a few people actually really just repeated. I remember when they came to take my land, they were like so surprised with just the amount of progress I'd done. So I think they just thought that a woman wouldn't be able to do it. So I think like sometimes as a woman it can be a little bit challenging because people will not value your word as much, and when you go to look for contracts and stuff like that, they might not think that you're as serious as a man. I think that's just society. I do work with other women. I'm like part of the Zimbabwe farmers. There I get to network with other women and other young farmers, and we're just out there to just inspire other young women farmers to farm. Unfortunately, there's very few young women farming at the moment, but then hopefully that will change.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Ms. Ruramiso Mashumba, a young woman farmer based in Marondera, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you very much.
The Women's Forum was hosted by Marvelous Mplanganyahuye in Washington.
And finally, in sports news, Dynamos versus Triangle in the One Wallet Cup this weekend. Stay tuned. And now to recap today's top stories. Hundreds of women dressed in miniskirts say their public protests in the streets of Harare are designed to conscientize Zimbabweans about their constitutional rights. And a large number of Zimbabweans suffering from various diseases claim that they were recently healed by prosperity gospel preachers after failing to get proper medical attention at conventional hospitals. That's our news tonight. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C.